Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I am Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Today, I get to talk to a teacher who is going to direct the upcoming premiere of one of my plays. But first, let's do some Theater Folk news. Craig and I are in the thick of conference season. It's always busy in the fall. It's an important part of having a company like Theater Folk to go and meet face-to-face with our customers and with people who we would like to be our customers. It's important to us that people see us as humans. You know, see those two people behind that table? They're the ones who write some of the plays and work on the website and write the blog posts and do the newsletters, record the podcasts, answer the phone, respond to your emails. We are Theater Folk, and we want people to know that we do all those above things because we care about being Theater Folk. So last weekend, we were at the Florida Association of Theater Educators Conference, a long-standing teacher conference for us, one we have a great fondness for because Florida really was the first place where teachers connected to us as a company and as people, the first place that saw us as human beings. For a long time, I would travel to Florida to do workshops and premiere plays because that was the only area that was interested in having anything to do with me. Although I can't say I ever really complained about going to Florida in December or in February. Just saying. And then upcoming this weekend, Craig and I are split in two. I head to the CODE Conference, the Council of Ontario Drama and Dance Educators Conference, which is on our home turf, yo! Oh, goodness. And anyway, that's always nice to be able to meet teachers who live and who work near us. And for the first time, Craig is going to the ABCDE conference in British Columbia. Very excited about that one as we connect to BC teachers a lot online. But this will be the first time in person. And as much as I love our online presence, sometimes you need to do things face to face. Lastly, where, oh, where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. All you have to do is search on the word Theater Folk. Oh, this is the first and what I hope is many, many, many interviews with teachers. We, you know, schools and student performers, that's what we do. That's what we focus on. And I really want it to be an ongoing thing where we talk to those who are in our works and directing our works and having those kinds of discussions. And so this first one, I had the opportunity to sit down with the upcoming director of a new play of mine, Cobweb Dreams, which is an adaptation of sorts of A Midsummer Night's Dream. It focuses on one of the minor fairies, Cobweb, and it's going to premiere at an all-girls school, Haverhill College in Toronto, in May of 2013. And I went into the school at the end of September to do a introductory workshop of sorts with the students. And this chat takes place right after the third day. So as you'll see, both the teacher and I were starting off a little bit spacey. I'm sure you'll forgive us. Okay, so we'll just sort of ease into this because my brain is like very...
Yeah, mine too. Fuzzy.
But you know what? Actually, that would be a good thing to talk about. So I am here at Haverhill College and I am with Ina. Please tell me your last
Zakelli.
Name. Zakelli.
Yeah.
And we have just spent 3 days workshopping a new play, Cobweb Dreams, which Haverhill is going to do in May. Yep. And we're just talking that our brains are a little bit in a funny place. Where are you right now after you've seen?
Well, it's really interesting to see it sort of. The girls just read the first part of the first act.
And Ina is the director. Going to be the director.
Yes, I will be the director. It's also the first time I'm directing a play, so I've seen this happen really? A couple of times. And so it's really exciting for me. And also, I am really concerned. My first concern was, my initial concern was that there sort of weren't enough girls and it was a really young cast. And now, because we have a lot of grade sevens and not a lot of returning people from last year, maybe a handful, but I was really impressed with the work that they did. And I was really, it really makes a big difference hearing the lines back and forth and thinking about, I was thinking a lot about the relationships between the characters.
So tell me, okay, so how did you get roped into this, that this being your first time directing?
So Larry Taylor, who has been the long time drama person here. He has been the director of
for years, and
like
he
decades.
And the reason that I'm here is that 2 years ago, Larry did Agatha Rex, and it was one of the best, not just middle school productions of the play, but it was one of the best productions I've ever seen of Agatha Rex. And just seeing the whole team involved in the production and just how crisp and very focused the acting was, I knew right away that if Havergal was keen, I would love to have another play done. And that's sort of how we, 2 years later, that's where we are now. And so...
So Larry is close to his retirement. He's probably within a few years of his retirement. And I think he wants to sort of make sure that the Haverhill Youth Theater, which is the middle school theater here, is in capable hands and in hands that he has had some kind of hand in developing. So we have been working closely together. Last year we worked very closely together on our production. And this year he's doing a lot of the producing and he's sort of also helping me up. So if I have questions or I'm not sure about what to do, he kind of gives me advice. And I'm using a lot of his model in terms of how to organize the girls and how to, you know, what things to be aware of in terms of middle school.
During the workshop, he's been really great at sort of keeping hands off. Like you're obviously the director.
He's very good. He's very, very good at biting his tongue. But I also know if I solicit his feedback, he'll give it to me.
So what's your background?
My background is mostly in English and social science. I've been a teacher for 15 years. And I've worked alongside drama productions. I was in drama productions in high school. I've done a lot of musicals.
Yeah.
A lot of musicals. And I perform. I'm a singer. Ah. So that's kind of where the performance background comes in. But I also think because I'm a great lover of literature and of reading plays, and in particular of Shakespeare, I think I feel like I have a good instinct, especially for character, relationships between characters.
Sure.
And using body language and facial expressions to reveal characters. So that's one of the reasons
that's
why
really
this
awesome.
Play appeals to me.
Well, what one of the things that was really most impressive to me when we had our initial talk was that you had a vision for the play. And the fact that what really spoke to you was this notion of Victorian England and the power struggle relationships. And I remember being on the phone going, well, this is the best thing. This is awesome that is the thing that you are coming to the table with, that you have a vision. And is that something that Larry sort of said, hey, you know, this is the kind of thing, or where did that come from?
We started off sort of thinking it was going to be like a steampunk urban fairy. Like that was the first thing. And then I thought the reason why I think we initially generated that idea is because it's something that the kids could easily recognize. So we thought, oh, they understand punk, they have an urban setting, they get sort of like that urban. And then I thought, how are you going to bring in the obvious class structure with the sort of fairies in waiting and the woodland fairies at the bottom and sort of like then the, you know, it was also like a West Side Story kind of a vision. And that's when I started thinking bigger picture about, okay, if it was something like West Side Story where there's a lot of fanfare and sort of very strong identification of groups, then I started thinking of Victorian England. But the other thing is it actually came from the set, because the set piece that I had in mind when I was looking at the play was this huge sort of maypole-like tree. And that's when I started thinking about movable set pieces and something that was a little bit more almost like Victorian music hall, vaudeville, where the pieces will move. And because the fairies are because she's a trickster and because there's a lot of play and because they're part of nature, just that there's a lot of things always happening. And the idea that the fairies are always around even when you don't see them. Mm-hmm. So that whole idea of like, you know, hiding behind, and I saw in the script, I saw Cobweb sort of hiding behind a bush. And I thought, how funny if she was moving the bush back and forth as she's hiding, or Puck sort of jumping down off mm-hmm. of a stone. And I just saw them really interacting with the set.
And how has it been having this very defined, it sounds like having this very defined vision right from the get-go has been very influential, and in just in terms of with your production team and with, you know, with your set, you know, I think you would agree, you are nodding.
Right. Yeah, definitely. It's been very influential. And that's why the exercises that you've done with them that were, you know, working with class and status and movement were so helpful for me. And that's, I really, when you did that with them, I thought, no, this is the way that the, I was much more convinced of, even more convinced of the vision.
When we did that, the first day of the workshop, we just sort of basically, because once, and again, it's amazing how vision can influence everything. And I'm always amazed when I see shows and I'm just like, I have no idea what the, because I think that is the director's job.
Right.
The director's job is the overseer. And one of the things that is overseeing, should oversee a production, is a vision.
Right.
And I think that's the funnest part of the director's job.
That's
is
right.
To sort of give it, you know, rightly or wrongly, to have some kind of concept.
Right.
And because that, and to have a concept that can be relayed to your costumes and your set and just even telling your actors. So as soon as Anna told me about this Victoria in England vision, which frankly, I was just so focused. So Cobweb Dreams is an adaptation of A Midsummer Night's Dream. And mm-hmm. my focus for the writing was taking, so it comes from the point of view of one of the characters, Cobweb Dreams, just following her story. And that was my sole goal, was to follow her journey and how she gets helped and hindered. And then when you came across and you came along and said, yeah, I see power struggles in Victorian England, that just opened up a whole new avenue for me. As it should, as the first director should, you know, and it's the difference between, and it's also the difference between a director who is trying to reclaim the play and a director who is taking what's on the page and being inspired by it.
Right.
And I just love that notion of Victorian England, and that's how I did the whole first day of the workshop.
And it was like, great. It was really good.
I think they got it, and yeah. I think they get status.
Yeah.
They get status. They get status every day.
They're middle schoolers. It's part of their existence.
And you know, whether or not they get what Victorian England is, and it was so funny because when we were talking with the students on the first day, and I asked, well, why are they doing Victorian England? And they thought, oh, Shakespeare, England, accents, England, you know, and that all really good guesses. And then when we got into the different class structure, they had no problem. And then having set up that, everything, once we got into as we incrementally got into the script,
yeah,
it all just was very, very clear.
Yeah, it becomes really clear. And then, of course, there's also the fact that the characters, There's slippage, right? It's so that, mm-hmm. you know, I see Titania and Cobweb, for example. Titania, I almost feel like favors Cobweb in some ways. Like she doesn't want her to leave. She's her favorite. You know, she's the one, she says, I want you to bring me the figs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a challenge. It's, you're my, are you really gonna, do you know what you're doing? In some ways, Titania is so smart in the first half of the play because she sees that there's something special about Cobweb.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this, and there's a whole, I see also a relationship between Willow and Puck that's really interesting, almost sort of flirtatious in some ways. And I don't know if that's what you intended, any of that, but I see them sort of, their banter very interesting, and a lot of that has to do with status.
Well, it was very interesting that initially when I wrote it, the whole thing was just Cobweb and Puck. So the scene we're talking about is the one in Midsummer Night's Dream when Puck comes across some fairies, and
right.
he just says, how now, spirits, whither wander you? And a couple of things were very interesting to me. One, that he relays the whole story. And of course, that's for the Elizabethan audience
right.
who needed everything spelled out a couple of times, mostly because they probably couldn't hear because it was just so loud and kind of like a wrestling match.
Right.
And so I love that. I love that he's telling Titania's fairies the story that they would know full well.
Right.
And I had that all banter between Cobweb and Puck, and I thought, well, how wouldn't it be wonderful if it was the one who's trying to keep Puck away who is thrust into having this conversation? And it's just, the girl who read it today was just...
She's good. She's great.
Oh, she's so... It's amazing how you can see students who don't want to read, but just have a very unnatural instinct. I thought the girl who read, I knew as soon as the girl who did who played Bottom, when she read for her teeny tiny audition, I went, that's Bottom. I know she's going to kill it. And she killed it.
She's great.
She just killed it.
She was great.
Actually, a lot of them. And this is what's so wonderful of when you have an opportunity to have a premiere. And I have no qualms about what's going to happen.
Right.
You know, like I have my full trust in these students. I have my full trust in you and your team. And I just can't wait to see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think it's
going
to be great.
I think it's going to be good too.
And they are very, very engaged with the script. As I said to you, one of them went home and read the whole script and came in today. She's like, I read the whole script and they were focused. I was watching them. I'm like 5:20.
I know,
they've
me
now
too.
Been here. Like they've been here an hour and a half.
Just sitting an hour and also just reading.
They were in it. They were into it.
Okay, so lastly, just we'll wrap this up. Since I didn't know this was your first time directing, and I love that. So I want to know, what is the thing you most fear? What's going to happen before you get started?
There's two different answers to that. So the thing I feared before listening to them read today was that we had this very young cast. And I thought, can they pull this off? Like, can they do... And then I thought, as I'm beginning to see that I want to play with the complexity of relationships... and have more, you know, Titania and Cobweb's relationship, I see it as more complex than just master-servant. Then I began to think, are they mature enough to pull it off? But when I heard them today, I was relieved. I think the one thing I'm most nervous about now is just there's a lot of different things to keep track of, right?
A lot of pieces.
So there's I have a very experienced production team, a very, very capable set designer who's amazing. I don't worry about her. I think she'll be fine, but it's, you know, it's getting the set. It's the costumes are they're not super elaborate, but they have to be right because the characters, the audience is going to depend on those costumes in addition to body language and other things to get a sense of who the characters are. So just that there's a lot of components and I don't want to drop any of them.
You're creating a world and you're creating a world that doesn't exist. So
that's
on the one end, that's very freeing. And then on the other end, that's a lot of responsibility.
That's right.
Okay, so now what is the thing you are most looking forward to?
I think I'm really looking forward to the actual, like, when the production happens and the tree, seeing the tree and just seeing some of these. And seeing it sort of take shape, as I have now that I've been involved in a couple of productions, to see how it sort of gradually begins to...
Come to life.
That I think this is going to be a really exciting thing to watch come to life.
My favorite thing of this workshop was yesterday when I gave out the scenes and instantly they read it and they all got on their feet and they all just moved around like fairies, like instinctually.
Yeah.
And I just watched it and I went, oh, this is going to be good.
It's such a great play for the age. It really is.
Yeah. I think I told you yesterday, I just love characters that aren't human. And it's so much fun to write characters who have something, you know, they've got human qualities, but they're a little left of center. And I would have died to have been in a whole play that was all fairies. And you just get to basically, you know, fly around with wings and have a ball.
Yeah. And I think they are. They have been having a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.